she would probably love him and adore him and let him pet her and scratch her. And then you walk up and she'll probably attack you.
Okay.
And she gets pretty bad to where in the summertime, if there's women that come in with sandals and pretty toes, she'll attack the toes.
Oh my.
Hello and welcome to You Know the Place, the show that explores the Idaho businesses, groups, and locations you always drive by but never seem to visit. I'm Joel Wayne, and this is my co-host, Lacey L.D. Daly.
Hello.
Hello.
That was nice and clean.
Was it?
Yeah, that was a good one.
Because, full disclosure, we usually I usually have to do that like 17 times.
It just takes a little bit of, you know, getting back into it.
Yeah. So, what do we got on the docket? What do we got on the, what do we got on deck this week?
This week, I'm nominating. I'm really excited about this one. I don't know. I'm excited about a lot of them, but I'm usually more nervous, but this one I'm kind of excited about.
Okay.
It's a store on the bench called Parrots and Stuff. Parrots in, like N, standing in place for and. Parrots and Stuff.
Okay.
It's on Overland, kind of near Cole. And full disclosure, so we do have a website. We talk about it sometimes.
We do indeed.
Yes, youknowtheplacepodcast.com.
You got it.
And there is a contact thing there. And we have been getting a bunch of suggestions from folks. And this one in particular really struck, I think, both you and I. We wanted to do it. And I'm just going to read the email. Oh, I printed it out.
Okay.
It's from Brian.
You're 80 years old, but okay.
Brian says, I'm sure you get loads of suggestions, but there's a store up on the bench called Parrots and Stuff, which, as you can guess by the name, sells stuff for parrots. That just seems so obscure in its potential client base that I'm always wondering how it stays afloat. It's just so perplexing that there are so many people in the Treasure Valley that have parrots that have so many needs that it necessitates a brick and mortar store, you know? Yeah, that would be exactly my question.
Yeah.
These parrots have so many needs.
Right, right. It just doesn't seem, if I'm being completely honest, I don't really understand how any city can really sustain
a parrot.
Parrots and stuff. Yeah. Although, I guess I shouldn't totally say that, because don't parrots live a really long time?
They do, and people often have to will them off.
What does that even mean?
Like, you include them in your will because your parrot will outlive you.
Do you have to take them when you do that, or do you go to, like...
You know, we're not going to get into those things.
Parrot rescue?
So, and parrots are expensive. They're expensive to buy. Their equipment is expensive, and again...
You've researched it.
No, I worked in a pet store for 7 years.
That's right.
I know this.
How did I forget that?
And I often say, if I ever won the lottery and I could afford a home that was large enough to give a whole wing to parrots, I would get a parrot, probably an African gray. I really liked those. They're super smart, but parrots are loud and messy.
It's a just whole wing?
A whole wing in the house. Yeah, because there's so loud of messy. I just keep them away and
is
then I go play with them.
That'd be a stinky wing, number one, and that feels like a pun. Okay, so what is does your central concern then mimic or mirror Brian's?
Absolutely. I think my central concern would be, how do you do enough business? How are there that many parrots that need to buy things?
I like it.
Yeah. I was looking it up online. They have a website. They have a Facebook. They're pretty active. How intimate is the parrot community that, you know, and is this the place where if you have a parrot in Boise, you go to? Because why not just Amazon? We say that all the time, right?
Oh, you mean buying,
supplies.
Not the parrots themselves.
Not the parrots themselves, yeah. The in stuff.
Sure. I mean, maybe the marketplace, you can buy used parrots for a better price or something like that. But
yeah, I guess by the name, this place might sell parrots because it's parrots and stuff.
I hope so.
Me too.
Yeah. Let's go check them out.
Okay.
So, just pulled up, Parrots and Stuff.
A little runaround there.
For some reason I thought, or Google was showing me it was on...
Fairview. When mine Fairview. Said Overland.
And yours said Overland. Okay. So apparently we're on different...
Google
I did. I had a bad update on Google for some reason, so...
I guess so. Well, yeah. Maybe we'll ask when we go in.
Sure.
If they were ever on Fairview. Because if they weren't, that's even funnier. and I'll never trust your phone. So, yeah, it's in... I mean... What is this, like a plaza, a strip mall, shopping center? Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of interesting, we were just kind of saying when we pulled in, a lot of interesting.
There's a movie theater, there's a shoe store, there's a Deseret Books, a gun store.
Soccer, etc.
Soccer, etc. All about games. We could do a whole season here.
Yeah, look at that. Parrots and Stuff, though. It's got nice signage, cute little parrot. I'm really hoping they have parrots. Is that implied, yeah. Right? Parrots and stuff?
I think it's implied because it's parrots and stuff.
Okay, and I have to ask this because we asked this going into the reptile store. Smells.
Yeah, I'm concerned. I find myself like a little less concerned with the birds.
With the birds?
Than the reptiles, but I don't know if that's bias.
Smell-wise or just how you're going to feel in general?
Probably a little bit of both.
It's okay.
Well, let's go parrot and stuff.
Okay, let's go parrot and stuff.
Yeah, let's do it.
We walk in and poke around the store a bit while the people at the front desk finish with a customer. There are these huge cages, big enough to fit an LD, patterned parrot carrying cases, which neither of us knew existed, and rows of bulk bird food labeled fruits and nut meats. Then we reach the back wall and a row of parrot cages, and parrots just hanging outside their cages. LD is very excited.
Wow, all the cages are just open. They can come and go as they please. Hey, Sammy, a 20-year-old green-winged macaw. Oh, hi. Did you hear that?
Oh,
hi. Their tongues always creeped me out. I'm having some really vivid memories. Hi. Oh, they even have a cockatoo. Hi, Quincy.
We make friends with the parrots for a little longer. All of them seem really skeptical of us, and especially the shotgun Mike, before chatting with the store owner, Melody, and her daughter, Misty, who tell us a little more about their clientele.
There is a very specific group in the area that are bird-oriented, and we've been around for 20 years.
Oh, okay.
A little longer than 20 years, but so we just moved to this larger location from...
Were you on Fairview?
Yes. So that was us.
That's where we tried to go, and his Google Maps must not be updated.
Well, we keep trying.
Apparently, and it is. It's conflicting sometimes.
Yeah, mine, and we have, like, the same kind of phone.
Mine mm-hmm. took me here. His took us... Yep. Elsewhere.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So you used to be over there. So how long have you been in this location?
Since December.
Okay.
So we're still really new in this location, yeah. But it's doing really, really well.
Yeah?
Yeah, a lot more bird people, I think, than you would ever imagine being in the area.
I guess, yeah. I mean, I'm still trying to... We went to a kind of similar, like, a reptile store mm-hmm. that I was like, come on, how can a reptile store... I mean, people, if they want a corn snake, aren't they just going to go to, like, Petco or something? Right. So what do you guys offer that maybe those corporate run...
So, no, I think the biggest thing that we offer is more of the supplies and the education and the well-rounded diet. Birds are really hard to find as far as young hand-fed babies. Okay. They're not in the area like they used to be. So we have all of our pets here, but it's really hard for us to get the babies to sell them. But we're working on it. We're just probably going to have to go to outside source out of Idaho to bring babies in. But we have all of the services that go along with the birds. So the food and the grooming and the toys, cages, all that.
Do you do boarding?
No. We have people who do that. That's like a full-time job in itself and a lot of room. So we have people that do that. And then there's a good avian vet in the area. There's actually several. So we kind of have our certain people for certain things like the groom or the boarding and the veterinarian care.
Will you introduce us to some of your birds or show us some of your birds?
Okay. Hi. So, she's probably our most attention-seeking bird. That's Sophie.
Hi, Sophie. You're a cockatoo.
She is. So she's our berry cockatoo. She's our oldest pet. She was one of our first, so she's the 25-year-old.
She's 25.
Yeah.
Hi.
And she is quite exuberant. She is very temperamental and very unpredictable.
Okay. Yeah, how come her door's closed?
She has to stay in her cage unless we are closed.
Oh.
She will act like she loves someone. And so, for example, she would probably love him and adore him and let him pet her and scratch her. And then you walk up and she'll probably attack you.
Okay.
And she gets pretty bad to where in the summertime, if there's women that come in with sandals and pretty toes, she'll attack the toes.
Oh, my.
She does not like toes. So needless to say, she has to stay in there.
Oh, hi, Sophie.
And then this one is probably, and you guys came right at a nap time. So they're not quite as loud, but this is Maynard. He's probably our most vocal.
Hi.
When he gets excited, he'll sing and he'll get up on his little swirly thing and go wee back and forth. And so he is probably the funniest as far as performing when he feels like it.
Oh.
Hi, Maynard.
And he'll sing songs.
In case you missed that, Sophie, not Maynard, keeps squawking, "How are you?" at us whenever our back is turned to her. Then you'll hear Maynard grumbling as Misty tries to coax him into singing.
You're fine. Hey, I'm not there. What are you talking about? Hi. Oh, don't be temperamental. Hi.
What are you?
Can you sing a song?
La la la.
Yeah, can you? La la la.
What's like your typical customer? I mean, do these people have multiple birds or... I mean, a big bird like that is a huge commitment, right? They can, like, outlive you.
It's a very huge commitment. I think that on average, though, once you get a bird, it's hard not to get another one. It's kind of like tattoos. You can't just have one. You have to have multiple.
That's an interesting, tattoos. Okay.
It's definitely, and that's why we have our whole wall of birds that are ours. So I would say the typical customer does not have just one bird.
No.
It might be a small canary and then a great big macaw, and that's it. But there's usually multiple in the household, or at least multiple pets. Usually people don't just have birds either. It's dogs and cats and lizards. And
in a sense, is it kind of like a hobby, though? I mean, these birds are expensive, right? And, I mean, their cages are expensive, and they're not clean, right? I worked at a pet store for a few years back in the day, and that's what I remember.
Of it. Mm-hmm. No, and that's just it. I think it's kind of a balancing act because dogs, for example, you have to take them outside to go potty, and you usually have to get them groomed in one way or another. Some of them bark, some of them don't. It's kind of the same thing with birds. They don't have to go outside, but you instead have the mess in your house. So I think it's kind of a, what do you prefer? What kind of a mess do you prefer? What kind of noise do you prefer?
Do you think that birds offer something that other pets don't?
Oh, yeah. I think they're, not to say other animals aren't complex, but the complexity of parrots is insane. And I think sometimes they're way too smart for their own good. I think that they can relate to you on a completely different level. They're a lot more interactive, too.
Yeah.
I would say. But our birds kind of take turns with who they like. So right now, Maynard loves me. And Quincy, second one from the last, loves me. My mom's is the African Grey right here. Oh. So this one has nothing to do with me. The big guy won't have anything to do with either of us right now. He loves one customer and one customer only. So.
And that's they're tend to be pretty temperamental then, and then kind of attach themselves.
Yeah, they are usually a one person bird only. Or a lot of birds are anyway. I should say not all of them. And I think what happens in here is they have the ability to literally pick anybody that they want to. And so they don't have to keep loving us.
Oh, yeah. They know that there'll be a new face coming around.
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever been bit?
Oh, yeah.
It's part of the job?
Mm-hmm.
Do they make you bleed?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. We've gotten bit and bled and had nerve damage and some of them don't hurt. Some of them just scare you. But it just kind of comes with the whole bird thing. I think most people understand that when you own a bird, you're going to get bit. Doesn't matter.
Right. Do customers bring in their own birds? Mm-hmm. That's like a thing they can do?
Yeah. They can bring their birds in to visit, or they can bring them in for us to groom them.
Oh, yeah.
Bring them in just to hang out. Doesn't matter. So.
And they generally know if they socialize all right then?
So our birds won't leave the cage.
Yeah.
And most people who bring their birds in, they're either in carriers or they know their bird and they'll come in with them under their jacket and then have them on their shoulder.
Misty tells us a little more about the individual birds, how they all talk, and how one only talks when the store is closed and he doesn't think anyone is listening. So naturally, we want to hear one of them talk to us.
Which one would one of them be more likely to talk to us?
If any of them were going to, it would be Maynard.
Yeah.
And typically, he is more exuberant in the morning. He's more exuberant if, I hate to say it this way, but fancy old ladies, the ladies with their hair perfectly done and the big jewelry. He loves fancy ladies. or if the vacuum's going. He has a certain times where he's so much more talkative or starts singing and does his performance because he loves the attention.
Because we're not fancy old ladies, Misty grabs a plastic bucket from the back, which Maynard usually likes to duck his head under and then speak into. He doesn't say anything to us, but it kind of sounds like he's clearing his throat or grumbling or sometimes laughing maniacally.
Is it the echo?
I think so. He's hearing himself, and 'cause he does. He will have a heyday in here. Say hello. He's honestly even being quiet about he's, this right
sounds
now.
Sounds like a dinosaur.
I know.
So we give up on gimmicks trying to get the birds to talk to us and get back to business.
I think a lot of it is more of the experience of coming in. Even though we don't have birds for sale, there's birds to look at. And if you want that one-on-one help or education or even just support of what do I do with my bird, it's driving me crazy, then we're always here to help with that. And so we hope anyway that we can always give customers a different experience than you can ever find on the internet or in other stores.
Totally.
So I think that helps a little.
I think so. If you can connect with a customer, especially like on that one-on-one thing, since these birds can outlive us, you can kind of almost make a customer for life, you know? It's different than maybe, well, cats can live long these days too, but I don't know.
Yeah, but not
and you
us.
Don't have as much competition.
I mean, what's the, did you say the lifespan of some of the parrots?
Essentially, it can be 80 to 90 years for the larger ones. So we've gotten a lot of calls asking if they can will their bird to us. And we try to always have family take them because we don't want to end up with hundreds and hundreds of birds over the span of years and the span of generations. But
I'm still confused, though. I mean, how do you need a bird? You probably buy a cage a few times in its life. And then even, I know the toys can be expensive, especially the big ones, but how often do they need, like, what are people coming in here and spending enough money on?
Food, toys, supplies. And it does depend on the bird. We have people that have to buy a new cage every couple of years. Some of the bigger birds will tear them apart, deconstruct them, you have to buy new ones. The healthier the diet, the longer the bird's going to live. So we have the 60-something different kinds of foods that anyone can pick and choose from. And then they're a lot like kids, so you want constant new things and new things that are going to make them work and challenge them. So we have all the different, and you want to rotate them out so they don't have the same toy for a year. It's essentially best if you change them out every month. And so there's definitely a lot of different things you can get.
Okay. I mean, I can't, yeah. You're obviously here and you're moving in, so you're doing something right or you've tapped into something. Yeah. We're just on the outskirts of it, trying
it's
to figure out.
It's hard to imagine anything. It's hard to imagine, like you said, what can you buy that would keep it going? But it's everything, the treats, the toys, the vitamins and food, grooming supplies, there's perches.
I mean, I guess it's like is the same with dog, but you just think there's so many more dogs, right? And that's kind of what the listener who sent us the email, he was like, how are there so many parrots here that have so many needs that a store like this could stay afloat?
But more specialized, right? I mean, that's the idea, very more specialized and then a longer lifespan. And there's not as many places for them to go, right? I mean,
we actually do get people also coming from Oregon and Washington and Utah. We don't have just people in Idaho coming in. We have our longtime 10 and 20 year customers coming from out of state. So that's a part of it too. But it works. It definitely works. So
You'll have to forgive me. I feel like I just keep, because it feels like someone's just talking behind me the whole time and someone is.
Constantly. There's never a dull moment in here, that's for sure.
We finish chatting with Misty before wandering around the store a little bit more, and LD gets a chance to show off her bird knowledge.
He's a big, colorful guy.
He's very big.
Hi.
Look at the beak. Look at the point on that beak.
I know.
Jeez.
Oh.
Wow.
I feel the same way where I kind of like, it kind of freaks me out a little bit just every now and then.
Okay. A little zebra finches.
Do you know that? Actually know? Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, you know your birds. So you actually know a lot more about birds and I know more about rocks than.
That's kind of what it comes down to, yeah. This looks like a canary. Canaries are expensive. They're like $100 a piece. At least 7 years ago they were.
Oh, and with inflation, you know.
Yeah,
it's like Bitcoin
now. Like 120 now. Yeah. And I think that's a lovebird in that cage there.
Yeah, let's go look at the lovebird.
Oh, and that looks like a conure.
Yeah, it's obvious why you wanted to come here.
Look, they have like playpen.
Yeah. You know what? You don't notice the reptiles when we went to Boise's Rock and Reptile. They didn't have like play pens. Like,
no.
Temporary play.
No.
And like, do
because they don't move like 95% of the time.
Do they play with each other in here? Do they just?
No, I think they read just... Ann Landers. Judging by the newspaper on the bottom.
We're checking out what looks like play pens for the birds when a customer approaches us out of the blue. Yeah.
Hi. You can interview me.
Yeah. All right, let's hear it.
No, yeah. Do you have a bird?
I have two of them.
Well, we'd love
What
to
kind of birds?
I have two umbrella cockatoos.
Okay.
Let me show you a picture.
Yes.
Yes, please.
I have pictures. Perfect. Oh, they're my children.
I'm Joel, by the way, and this
this
is Lacey.
Nice to meet
you. Hi, I'm Teresa.
Hi, Teresa.
Nice to meet you. I have a male and female, but I don't breed.
What ages?
I adopted both of them. Oh. I promote adopting and everything. And the thing of it is that there are so many of them out there that need homes, you know, and it breaks my heart and it makes me cry, literally, because some of them have had 10 homes, 15 homes. My birds, when I adopted them, I wasn't real sure of the ages. I've had Luna for about 3 years now, and I've had Loki for a couple years, and they were both around the same age, about 10,
yeah,
or something like
but
that.
But you just kind of have to estimate then.
But yeah, you kind of have to estimate, but Loki's super friendly, and he loves people.
An interesting thing, you kind of have to think about, like, afterlife plans. Like, your birds will most likely outlive you.
They will.
Do you
they
have
will.
Plans like that?
Yes, but they're not set in stone yet.
Okay.
My plan is that I don't feel like anybody will love them the way I do. So, I mean, I'm sure there's people out there that would, but I can't trust that situation.
Sure, yeah.
So I plan on, my best friend, Alec, that the gentleman that I walked in here with, he said that he's quite a bit younger than me. He's like my son. He said he, you know, would take care of him, but my plan is to put them in a sanctuary, a bird rescuer sanctuary.
Yeah.
Like in Florida, you know,
okay.
Someplace back.
Teresa tells us a little more about her birds before showing us some pictures on her phone.
Okay, let me find these pictures. I'll show you. Oh, they're my babies. They're so sweet. That's my little girl.
Oh.
And you see she's plucked herself because of the abuse that she had in the past.
Aww. Just like self.
Right, self-mutilation is what birds will do when the... you know, bored or not happy, and this guy would beat on the cage when she, you know, screamed. You can't do that.
Yeah.
You know?
What? 95 cents.
And the thing of it is that many people will say, oh, that looks like a fun pet to have. You really have to do your research.
Right.
You really have to do your research.
Spend some time in a store like
Spend
this.
Spend some time, talk to people who know about them.
Yeah.
I'm not going to claim that I know everything there is to know, but I did some research, and I know a lot about my breed. But, gosh darn it, my phone, let me show you. I'll show you some better, a better picture. But hang on a minute. But they, is this a video? Oh, let's see. There's Luna. This was last summer. She's jumping around. It was hot. And I've got the mister connected to the fan. She loves country music.
Yeah.
There's Loki. He's such a little pistol. Oh, shaking that tail, mama.
Teresa shows off a few more videos, and then we head back to the car.
Teresa was hilarious.
Yeah, I'm so glad. It's funny because you and I always go back and forth on that about like kind of bothering people, bothering customers. But, you know, they always say like when someone's joking, like that there's a little bit of truth to it. So when she said, you can interview me, I'm just joking. It's like, okay, but we should interview you.
We should. Those, again, really nice people. And I'm sure a lot of it has to do with establishing that customer rapport. I don't know if you saw it, but the guy that came in with Teresa then went over to that playpen where that conure was, and he was holding it and carrying it around. So they must come here enough that he knows he can do that. Because
you generally wouldn't go up and...
I didn't do that.
Yeah.
Missed opportunities all around. Family owned. So I'm just getting hit with a lot of flashbacks, you know? From my time working with birds.
Yeah.
Like, she's talking about her little boy needs his nails trimmed. This is what we used to do at the pet store. We used to take them into the back room, into one of the bathrooms.
Yeah.
And somebody would wrap them in a towel so they couldn't, like, bite you. And the big birds. And the other person would clip their nails. I mean, we're not certified to do this. I was, like, 17, and I didn't own any birds.
Yeah.
And sometimes you might miss, and... You know,
they bleed then?
They bleed, right? Yeah. And it's fine if you can get the styptic powder on them right away, and it's fine if they can't fly, but if you're doing that with, like, a canary, and you don't clip their wings, then they started flapping around the bathroom, and it looked like a drive-by shooting, because there's, like, blood splattered on the walls and the mirrors. Not large amounts, but just enough to be like, what happened here?
Yeah, you don't want to go into that bathroom after that.
Yeah. I don't know. Funny story. Well, that was a nice afternoon. I hope that we... did our due diligence to Brian and kind of got some questions answered.
Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe he'll go in now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Meet Sophie.
I'd encourage anybody to go in there.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Let's head back. Oh, I'm already fastened in.
So we're back, Jack.
Yeah.
Back from parrots and stuff. Speaking of which, when I was writing up my notes for this, I was stuck with kind of a grammatical quandary. Is it parrots apostrophe in stuff?
I think so.
Or in apostrophe? I couldn't remember.
It's audio. It doesn't matter. You can't hear the apostrophe.
That's true. So initial impressions from parrots and stuff?
Well, they did have parrots.
They did.
Not parrots for sale, at least not yet.
Mm-hmm.
They were all store or pet parrots. I think maybe the other birds might have been for sale, like the finches and stuff, but... It seems like they want to find some breeders that they really get along with before they start selling parrots. So there's that out the gate. I'm also thoroughly embarrassed by my parrot voice or my, like, talking to bird voice. And I apologize to everybody who had to suffer through that because I was really uncomfortable listening.
No, that was one of my notes for initial impressions. The first thing I wrote down was comparison of how Joel talks to birds versus how LD talks to birds.
Yeah, it's a very stark difference.
Yeah, it's a similarity to the way that Teresa, that customer that we talked to, because she seemed to just kind of go into this entirely different voice too. And you did the same thing where it was like, hi.
I know. I can like, there's an actual point, a shift, and you can hear it. That was my last like kind of first initial impression was how glad I am that we ran into Teresa.
Yeah,
I think
too.
That she really gave us a great perspective. Not that Misty didn't. I mean, Misty owns birds as well, but she's also part owner. So you always have to have that in the back of your mind. But Teresa was just, you know, coming in, looking at bird stuff.
And super passionate about it. Obviously very, very passionate about it.
Yeah.
And anybody who wants to whip out their phone and show us pictures and videos, that's kind of great.
Yeah.
So, okay. What about your central concern? Was that answered?
Yeah. I mean, I think my central concern, I tried to keep it pretty true to Brian, the listener who submitted kind of the place and his question. And I think we did answer it, much like Boise's Rock and Reptile. It's just a specialized industry without a whole lot of competition. So it kind of makes sense that it can probably do well. So I think it's less about why are there so many parrots with so many needs, but there's a handful of parrots or, you know, a group of people who have parrots and they just don't have a lot of places to go or a lot of options.
Mm-hmm.
But I was also thinking, so the people who go to parrots and stuff, they go for more than just supplies and services and whatnot. They go there for the community of it. And I think that makes a lot of sense because if you take dog people, I mean, you can run into dog people, dog parks, hiking trails, even the pet stores when you can bring them in. And even cat people, you don't bring your cat everywhere. But if you're in a group of people and you want to talk about cats, I'm willing to bet a big percentage of people there either have cats or have had cats and can talk about them. But these people who have birds, like the chances of running into other people who have birds and are passionate about birds is, you know, slim to none, I think, when you're out and just...
It's a community as much as it is kind of a retail operation. Sure.
Yeah, that's kind of what I thought.
Yeah. What about final takeaways then?
Well, what about your final takeaways? I just feel like I'm dominating here.
I don't know. I have a couple different ones, I guess. Number one, I think that we figured out that birds are to you what rocks are to me. Secretly.
Except you don't have a rock voice.
We both
voice.
Went into it.
You don't
no,
talk to rocks
I didn't.
That way.
I wasn't like, obsidian. Agate quartz.
Maybe you were really holding that in. Though.
Hi. No, I didn't do that. That was the first one that I thought of. The other one, too, we had talked about, or you had mentioned kind of in passing about these, about birds being an investment, you know, just kind of what you put into them. And generally speaking, I feel like with those, it's kind of like, but are you getting anything back from that investment? Because the only thing I could really compare it to, because of their lifespan, are people. It's like having a kid, mm-hmm. you know, because if they live 80 or 90 years. But at least with kids, you know, sometimes parents can move in with the kids later on.
And they can like reverse.
And, you know, kind of reverse that idea, you know, and that used to be kind of the norm.
Yeah, that
back
bird
in the day.
Can never actually.
But you can't move in with your parrot.
I mean, your parrot's never going to move out and invite you to move in with them.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I know. And that was the one thing that kind of sticks with me is after talking to Teresa and how people have to will off their birds and you have to have like an afterlife plan for these things. And yeah, are they really an investment? You don't really get a return, a monetary return, maybe an emotional one. But mm-hmm. I think because birds live so long, they have so many more opportunities to be placed in the wrong hands or, you know, to be rehomed so many times. And it just touches my heart.
Yeah. Well, it's no wonder that they go through, you know, kind of traumatic experiences because of that. I will also say, too, the issue of willed birds and that thread of willed birds, I do feel like there's something there that there could be like a TV show based upon these willed birds. Like there's some thread there.
All right. Well, if you see, if Animal Planet has that, yeah. I'll know to look for your name.
I'll be thinking about that. And okay. You all be thinking about that, too.
Okay. Well, I think that's it. That wraps it up for the week.
Actually, that wraps it up for the season.
Surprise!
Surprise!
It's the last episode. You made it.
Yeah.
Well, this has been fun. And we're going to do another season.
We are. Right?
The plan is, I think, we'll take the summer, we'll start working on season two, and we'll be back in the fall. But we just didn't want to leave you hanging.
Yeah. And we've got a lot of great ideas. There's a lot of stuff that we want to do.
Because we're amazing. Yeah, we have a lot of good ideas.
And we want to do some stuff. We have a lot of stuff on the list for over the summer. And we've got, I think, about half the season planned out.
Conceptually. We'll see if they pan out.
Yeah.
But it should be fun. And we look forward to it. We do still have our Instagram that I'm sure we'll be teasing out content over the summer.
Absolutely.
You Know the Place. You find that on Instagram. Website, as always, youknowtheplacepodcast.com. Don't know what we'll have going on there, but if you just want to shoot us a note, we'll answer. It's the summer.
Yeah. If you have suggestions, and people have been sending in suggestions,
like
which has been great.
Like parrots and stuff.
Like parrots and stuff, and some of the other ones. Maybe even some upcoming stuff, too, for next year that we haven't quite finished. So.
Yeah, send them our way. Yeah. We're all ears.
And many thanks for everybody who has written in, too.
And just listened.
And listened, yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Appreciate you.
We do. And I think I'm going to put some bloopers in now. Some outtakes, some funny outtakes.
Weird.
Because I can do that.
Yeah, you're behind the boards.
So I'm going to take my producer role to the max here and put in some funny stuff. And if you really don't want to listen to this part, you should tune out now because it's going to be just me and Joel messing up a lot. And that's your warning. So thanks for listening.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
Hello and welcome to You Know the Place, the show that explores the Idaho shops, clubs, pubs, and grubs. No, it's just one of those days, apparently. Hello and welcome to You Know the Place, the show that... Oh, boy.
You hear anything?
Yeah, I hear you.
Do you hear anything?
I hear you.
Do you hear what I hear?
For that.
The sound.
I answer always.
Okay.
So when will you be on the radio so I can listen?
It's gonna be a podcast. So do you have a smart? You have a smartphone, right?
Yeah.
Do you listen to podcasts?
I tried to tell you that it was a podcast.
It's a podcast, and it's a
kid,
podcast.
No, I don't know nothing.
How come I can't hear anything?
I don't know. How are your level?
Because I'm not plugged in. Come on, Joel.
Oh, shouldn't I just chug some of that LaCroix? Got a little bubbly.
You're just going to be burping the whole time?
Probably. Ooh, that came from deep in my throat.
Deep. You're hungry now.
I guess so. I made some room.
How does it work? How does a...
You need help?
Oh, God.
You weirdo. You little goblin.
Listen to You Know the Place wherever you get your podcasts. Details at BoiseStatePublicRadio.org. Oh boy, buddy. Buddy. You good? Are we ready?
Yeah, we're ready.
Okay. Hello and welcome to You Know the Place, the store. 3, 2, 1.
You Know the Place is a podcast brought to you by Boise State Public Radio. Our music is James Dean Kendall and the Eastern Oregon Playboys. Our website is youknowtheplacepodcast.com. And thanks this week to Misty and Melody at Parrots and Stuff for letting us play with all your birds.
And roms reach out to me from across oblivion.